You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Phillies reporter Todd Zalecki. And Todd, baseball is being played, not just drills, not just pitchers fielding their positions, but actual spring training, Grapefruit League baseball. Certainly exciting. So that's going to be the gist of most of this podcast as the Phillies have gotten off to a pretty good start. We'll get into who's off to a good start for the club and what to look forward to the rest of the week. But I think we have to start with Michael Franco, who is just on fire out of the chute. I mean, at this point, after a few games, you almost want to say, save some for the regular season. He hits two homers in his first game, a third home run in his second game. A lot of times they say the pitchers are ahead of the hitters early in the spring, but he seems locked in.
Yeah, he does. You know, and I think the most notable thing about what he's doing right now is he seems to be carrying a different approach to the plate. And I say that, you know, obviously super, super small sample size, but he went into spring training, or the Phillies went into spring training saying, listen, we really need to work on his approach. Sometimes he got a little bit over aggressive, swinging early in the count. He kind of got away from a plan, even if did he even have a plan going up to the plate? And so, so far, what you've seen from him is he's working the count a little more. He's not afraid to hit with two strikes, that type of thing. And what else he's been doing is, Phillies hitting coach Matt Stairs has talked a lot about the first two rounds of batting practice, concentrate on hitting line drives and work the ball from left center to right center. And I talked to Michael Saunders yesterday about his early impressions of Michael Franco, and that was the first thing out of his mouth. I didn't even have to ask him about it. He's like, this guy takes a really good BP and really impresses his approach. And so what the Phillies are hoping is he takes that line drive, left center to right center field approach and carries it into games, because if you look at the numbers, if you hit line drives consistently, you're going to hit for a high average, and then, you're almost going to hit some home runs by mistake. So that's kind of what they're hoping for. So far, so good for Michael Franco.
You mentioned Matt Stairs, the Phillies' new hitting coach, and he's having an impact on a lot of players. You have a story up on Phillies.com about the club's number four prospect, Nick Williams, who obviously had a disappointing 2016, spent most of it in AAA. A lot of people thought he would make his way to the big leagues at some point, but he just didn't play well enough to do that. But he's kind of changed his approach, and from what I'm kind of understanding, Todd, his head was moving all over the place, and Stairs is just kind of making him calm down, calm the head movement down, calm the leg down, and it's making a lot of sense for Williams early on.
It is. So, like, what Nick Williams was doing last season is he kind of strode to the towards the pitcher's mound too hard with his front foot, and what that did is it had his head, like you said, moving up and down, kind of almost like bobbing up and down. So when your head is moving all over the place as the pitch is coming to plate, you have trouble with pitch recognition. You can't figure out if the ball is a strike or a ball. Now, this is something they tried to work on with him a little bit last year, but Stairs has really worked at him with it all spring training. He's really been in his head a lot. And I talked to Nick Williams on Sunday afternoon in Dunedin, and the first thing out of his mouth, again, not prompted by anything, he said, I've been working with Matt Stairs a lot, and he's totally got me swinging differently and thinking differently at the plate. Now, nobody knows exactly what that's going to mean for 2017, but the fact that Nick Williams is saying, hey, I don't even know how I got base hits before, to now I go up there and I'm seeing the ball a whole lot better, if it's true and if he can carry it into games once the season starts in AAA, then that's a very good thing, because he's got really quick hands, and I think if he can use that a little bit more, he can let the ball travel in on him a little bit more. He can see the ball a little bit more. Maybe he can kind of put up those numbers that everybody expected that he would put up last year.
Yeah, and I thought something interesting from that article as well, as far as Williams goes, is when he first started doing this with Matt Stairs, he felt completely uncomfortable, which is probably one reason that in the season he wasn't able to make an adjustment like that, because in the middle of a season, you're not going to want to feel that uncomfortable. But in spring training, when you can really get the extra reps in, he's gotten to the point now where he's more and more comfortable. So hopefully, as you said, that continues into the regular season. All right, well, some of the Phillies pitchers have gotten on the mound for the first time in game action already this week. Jeremy Hellickson got a couple of innings in. We never take much from the numbers as far as these first couple of starts, because, hey, there, to a degree, pitchers are just working on pitches, not necessarily trying to get outs. But Hellickson did give up four hits in a couple of innings, a couple of earned runs. But how did he feel about the outing afterwards?
Yeah, he felt pretty good about it. He entered camp in great shape, very positive about what he's going to be able to accomplish. And, certainly with plenty of motivation as well. This is a guy who, just like last season, is in a contract year. So they're hoping that, he's hoping that he can put together another season like he did last year. And if he puts together back-to-back seasons like he did, in 2016-2017, the guy is probably going to get that big, huge multi-year contract that he was hoping to get, before last season. And, he ended up taking the qualifying offer instead.
They get a walk-off win on Saturday, Todd. I know it's spring training, and I know these games absolutely don't mean anything at all, but for a young team in spring training, it's got to be kind of fun and kind of a little electrifying to get a walk-off win, even in a spring training game.
Absolutely, and what actually made this one stand out is the guy that got that walk-off hit, Brock Stassi. He's actually a legitimate candidate for possibly that final bench job. He's a left-handed hitter. He plays a really, really excellent defense at first base. He can hit. He can get on base. He's got a pretty decent on-base percentage, and he can hit for a little bit of power. So, if he can kind of continue to have a good spring, and really his first couple games have been pretty solid, if he can continue to do that, he actually might end up getting that final bench spot.
We're recording this podcast on Tuesday, 1 o'clock. So actually right when Clay Buchholz will be basically taking the mound. And I know we're keeping you from him right now, Todd, and his performance this afternoon. But on Monday, Jared Eichhoff took the mound for the first time as well. Two innings, a hit, an earned run. He walked one. He struck out a couple. What was the reaction from Eichhoff on his first game action of the spring?
Well, he said, hey, it could have been a little bit better, but he was actually is working on something. Last season he kind of came into camp, even though he was a heavy favorite to make the rotation, he still felt like, he needed to prove some things and maybe pitch for performance rather than pitch for, maybe just working on a few things here and there. So, but this spring he's a lock. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Jared Eichhoff, no matter what he tells you or what anybody says, he is an absolute lock to make this rotation. So yesterday he was working on throwing his changeup a little bit. He only threw his changeup about 5% of the time last year. He wants to incorporate that pitch a little bit more, and he also wants to get a little bit more consistent with his slider and his curveball, in the sense that there would be a start, say for instance, where the curveball is great, and he would just throw his curveball all the time, and then the next game the slider would be great, he just throw the slider all the time. And sometimes that got him into trouble. So what he's hoping now is he can throw him whenever he wants to, no matter what's kind of going on during the game.
So there's some healthy pitchers on the mound. As far as pitchers behind a little bit at this point, Aaron Nola, I know, is having a good spring so far, hasn't thrown yet. But Eflin and Thompson, I guess, both a little behind right now, Todd?
Yeah, they are. Zach Eflin, a couple weeks ago in camp, his right knee swelled up on him during sprints. So he's behind schedule. And then Jake Thompson, he started feeling some soreness in his wrist early in workouts, so he's behind schedule. Now, they're both scheduled to throw a live BP next week, and if that happens, there's a possibility they could be ready to begin the season with AAA rotation. I think it's a possibility maybe that they start Eflin on the DL just because he's coming back from two knee surgeries. There's really no reason to rush him, so that's another possibility as well. But they're behind schedule. Let me put it this way. It's not like 2011, and if we were talking about Roy Halladay and Cliff Lee being behind schedule, now they're going to be ready by opening day. Both of those guys were scheduled to start the season really in AAA, so it's noteworthy because of their talent level, certainly, but in terms of affecting the big league ball club, it shouldn't have too much of an impact.
All right, one more topic to touch on with you, Todd, and it's because you're getting back into the season and obviously spending the next month or so down in Florida, but in the Clearwater area, but then the travel will obviously continue for the next 6-7 months. So we're talking to all our beat writers here at MLB.com about basically life on the road, because you guys travel a ton, obviously. Every road trip, you're out there with the team, wherever it is across this country and into Canada as well. Do you have a favorite story from all your years covering the Phillies that's come about from being on the road?
Boy, a lot of them really come to mind, and maybe I could run through a couple of them real quick. You know, this is probably one of the odder stories that happened to me. Just one of the odder experiences that happened to me. I was sitting in the hotel lobby in Pittsburgh, the Renaissance, right across the river from PNC Park. I'm talking to one of my college buddies, and I go, "Holy cow, I think George Jefferson just walked into the lobby." And so I hung up the phone. I ran over to him, and I was like, "Yeah, that's Sherman Hemsley. If you remember, anybody remembers the Jeffersons." So I went up to him, and I just said, "Hey, are you Sherman Hemsley?" And he said, yeah. So next thing, I said, "What are you doing here?" He ended up being in town for a play. Next thing you know, I didn't know this. He was telling me how he actually grew up in Philly. He says, "I've only seen two baseball games my entire life, and one was at Connie Mack Stadium. The other one was at the Tokyo Dome." So I ended up talking with this guy for 5 to 10 minutes. Couldn't have been nicer. That was probably one of the more unusual experiences. Another fun experience I had on the road was in the playoffs in 2009 in Colorado. A game got snowed out, and we weren't sure what the Phillies were going to do in terms of the starting rotation. Pedro Martinez had been scheduled to pitch, but because of his health, it was kind of hard to think that he was actually going to be able to pitch on the road in the snow, in the cold. And so I remember myself and a few of the other beat writers, we went over to the team hotel, and we were kind of roaming around, kind of loitering in the lobby. Some local TV cameras, Philly TV cameras, tried to get into the lobby, and they all got booted out. They started kicking out reporters. And so I was like, I got to see if I can catch Pedro or Rich Doobie, the pitching coach at the time. I got to see if I can catch one of these guys so I can have a story to tell Phillies fans back home what's going on. And so we kind of poked our head into the restaurant, the lobby restaurant. There's Pedro Martinez having lunch. So myself and a couple of other Phillies beat writers, so we wouldn't get kicked out of the hotel, we ended up ordering lunch and basically just like eating / stalking Pedro Martinez for about 2 hours. He must have had the longest lunch I've ever seen anybody have in my entire life. And then Pedro finally finishes lunch, and we kind of hop up, and we're like, is this guy going to think we're huge creeps for like waiting for him to talk to him? But he could not have been more outstanding. He talked to us. He's like, "I don't know what's going on, if I'm going to pitch or not." But it was very, very gracious, to us. And I'll never forget that, just kind of the absurdity of, you know, like I said, the hotel booting reporters, TV reporters, us buying lunch so we couldn't say we were loading, that we were paying customers, and then just kind of like pseudo stalking Pedro Martinez to get the story for that day's website.
That's fantastic. The only thing that would make that better is if Pedro had actually picked up the tab.
Yeah, exactly. If we would have known that, we might have ordered more.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Great stuff, Todd. As always, this has been MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. For Todd Zalecki, who's moving on up, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.